listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock.
Joining us right now on the HMP Hotline, he covers the Houston Rockets for The Athletic. He also co-hosts the Brody and the Beard podcast. It's our buddy Kelly Eco. What's up, Kel?
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, man.
Hey, man, let's ask, you know, what to you weighs more in your expectations for the Rockets in this series? How they've performed against the Lakers the two times they played them in the micro ball era, or what you saw from them in game seven against the OKC Thunder?
I think a bit of both. Obviously, how they played in game seven wasn't the greatest offensive game, but they did show enough defensive grit, tenacity, and effort to pull through. Now, this being a different matchup, you kind of have to look back on those regular season games against the Lakers, but you have to remember that, you know, those games, you have to take it with a pinch of salt, given that so many things changed between then and now. The bubble has changed a lot of stuff for everybody. Houston's small ball, they've been able to see more of it and have had time to adjust to it, and the Rockets themselves have had time to clean things up. So I do think while, you know, the first round was important and the regular season is important, this is going to be a whole new thing altogether.
Kelly, man, Jason Braddock here. I know we haven't really been able to cross paths a lot, but I just remember at 790, always wondering, like, who the hell is this Kelly Eco kid over at SportsMap? He is killing it. No, I've respected your work from a while. Appreciate you taking the time out to join us tonight. And I want to ask you, because I haven't heard it. You do a great job getting the inside information and points that not too many people are talking about, but I'm curious because we've seen TJ Warren, we've seen Gary Trent Jr. early on, we've seen guys kill it in the bubble, and the only person I've really heard speak about it, and I'm so curious about what makes it so different with the variables, was Dame saying this is a shooter's inside this bubble, the way it's lit, the way everything is, it's a shooter's bubble and shooters shoot. Then you see other guys that one of the best offensive guys ever, and James Harden, start to struggle with his three-point shot. Can you characterize, or have you heard from some of the Rockets players, the difference in why some guys flourish in it and others might struggle?
Yeah, so I'll give you an example with Ben McLemore, who talked about, you know, with this bubble, it's easier without fans and without all those distractions to just kind of hone in on the basket themselves. And you know how shooters are. If they get into a rhythm or they find something that they like early on, it's much easier, you know, down the stretch. So for people like Ben McLemore, for people like, you know, maybe Covington, Tucker, all the other teams that have their shooters, this bubble has been great to see because this, I think since July, we've seen some of the best basketball we have in a while.
Right.
Like for the whole season. Mm. So that obviously has to do with, you know, the absence of distractions and the fans, the whole all-court entertainment that, you know, arenas bring and everything else. So they're able to just kind of zero in on just NBA and just the games, and that's helped them, you know, throughout the course of, you know, the bubble.
Talking with Kelly Eco, he covers the Rockets for The Athletic. Kelly, you know, it was said today that Russell Westbrook, Mike D'Antoni's targeting about, you know, 32, 34 minutes or so. For Russell Westbrook, he played 36 minutes in Game 7. Played pretty well for the first three quarters. Looked like he ran out of gas in the fourth quarter. Is this an indication that maybe Russ isn't quite 100%?
Yeah. He kind of alluded to that after Game 5, that he was still trying to find his rhythm. And, you know, having seen Russ throughout the season, he's somebody who his game is very much predicated on that rhythm and the explosiveness and the powerful, you know, drive to the basket. And with him having to come back from the quad injury, there was no way he was going to just jump back in and be the same rest that we've seen this season. But that being said, the minutes restrictions have slowly reduced each and every game. Today, they expect him to go anywhere between 30 to 34 minutes. I think playing the Lakers will kind of bring something out of him that we've seen in the past. You know, the last time they played in Staples, he was the one that actually, you know, was the driving force in that game, because if you remember, Harden was getting trapped and dealt with the whole game, and the owners was kind of on a rush to kind of bring them through. And I think he scored 41. So I think against LeBron and AD, even though it's not in L.A., you know, his home, I think he'll still be able to conjure some of that strength. So as the series goes on, you'll see him get more and more in that rhythm.
Kelly, I want to ask you something. There's always, when I watch the Rockets, there's always certain players that just perform well. They'll be mediocre to average, and then against the Rockets, for whatever reason, they play well. Gallinari was one of those guys, and then we saw him get a slow start at the beginning of the series, I think the first three games, if I'm not mistaken, find his groove the next three, and then fall off the earth there in Game 7. KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Danny Green, and if I'm not mistaken, I know you'll know better than I do, I think KCP's been a guy that Daryl Morey sniffed around for several years now, yeah. same as Iguodala. But Danny Green and KCP fit that mold of guys that give the Rockets problems. They have efficient days that they typically don't play up to. Is there a reason? Well, first, do you think that's accurate? And second, do you think there's a reason for that you can put your finger on?
I think it has to do with how free-flowing the game is. You know, the Rockets play a pretty up-tempo style that it's very AAU-esque, and when other teams come into that arena or they play them, it's kind of the same way with pace. Like, you know how the pace of the game is determined by how two teams are playing. The same goes for teams who may not have, you know, say Danny Green shoots 34% against every other team, but against the Rockets, he's shooting 39-40%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because the game is going faster, and he's able to get into a flow and you try to match their style. It's a shooter's game. So
I think
those shooters do well in those environments, because I've seen games where Kyle Kuzma looks like Ray Allen against the Rockets. And over the season, he shoots like 32% from three. So I think that has to do with just the Rockets being themselves.
Does he leave you saying when Kuzma gets in that zone, he's got game?
Yeah.
Kelly, Mike D'Antoni said today, Eric Gordon will draw the assignment on LeBron James, and he's given away a lot of height and a lot of weight, but I guess he considers him one of, if not their best perimeter defender. They really need EG's offense. How much of a concern is it that, you know, Eric Gordon giving away as much height and size as he is? Are you concerned about Eric Gordon's offense falling off or picking up foul trouble? Or do you think that because the Rockets switch so much, that maybe it's not as bad as possibly thinking here?
I mean, if you go back to Game 7, he kind of picked, you know, the most dramatic times to have an offensive good game. But I think this is going to be much different. I'm not sure how long they'll stay with this Gordon on LeBron plan, given that it's the only guy to Peter Tucker, unless they have some kind of – this also could be, you know, coaches trying to – throw a wrench at the last minute, you know?
Right.
I don't know. But it just seems like, to me, P.J. Tucker is the guy to guard LeBron. But, you know, I'm not a coach. So I've only seen P.J., you know, do his best. But LeBron is somebody who, because of the way he plays, is so powerful, was so strong. It's going to take more than one guy to stop him. And P.J. said they have to form a wall, similar to what you've seen the Heat do with Giannis, having to kind of stop them in the tracks before they get downhill. I think that's going to be the most important approach, as opposed to any singular players guarding him.
I want to piggyback on what Creighton just asked you there, tie it in, but I want to tie it into something that I haven't seen, and forgive me if you've written about it, I didn't see it or not, but I haven't seen people talk about one of the cons. You know, there's a ton of pros, tons of cons with small ball, and one of the cons that I haven't seen people talk about, when we saw it there in the first round with OKC, is that when you have a bunch of 6'5", 6'6", guys, the foundation of that defense being James Harden, Robert Covington, P.J. Tucker, is that they're banging there at seven-footers. Brad Stevens, Celtics coach, says they're a bunch of linebackers playing basketball on defense. He's absolutely right. They get physical. They got to fight. They got to get grimy with it. Well, when you do that and you're undersized, fouls are going to be called. And then in that first round, Harden averaged 4.5 1.1 a game. Tucker, 4.0. Rocco, 3.7. On the other side, AD and LeBron, 1.8, 1.6. And their first round with foul trouble. Now, say all that to say this. A lot of times we see GIF, oh, Harden didn't play defense here. Why didn't it attack? Well, playing this small ball has gotten him in foul trouble so much that he doesn't want to attack and get that fifth or sixth foul, and he can't play defense and get a ticky-tack foul that gets him thrown out the game, or we see how OKC just took off with it there in overtime. So all of that, forgive me for getting long-winded, but setting up all that, I want to ask, I was surprised Rocco wasn't on Anthony Davis with his length and stretch to battle in there, and Tucker, like you said, wasn't on LeBron James to just get physical with him as well, and then you put Harden on JaVale McGee because he spent so much time on the post. All of that, is it the reason, or could it be one of the reasons we're seeing Eric Gordon being named defender against LeBron coming out the gates, is that similar, you don't want to get him in foul trouble, and you don't want him to use all of it on the defensive end, because on the last three, four games against OKC, Robert Covington was outstanding.
Right. I think you're absolutely right. The Rockets have done a really bad job of, you know, tacky fouls and fouls are they're unnecessary, and that puts you in trouble because now it's a rolling effect. You don't have to look into your rotation. You have to mix things up. So putting Gordon on LeBron, I guess, allows Tucker to expend his energy elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And if you can survive, let's say, the first quarter and Tucker only has one foul or no fouls, then I think that's a win for your team. And then you can adjust going forward.
Nice. I like the adjustment. Yeah, I think Kelly's hitting the nail on the head there with the adjustment. You come out there, and then later, you know, you see James Harden, Creighton, call to defend the top players late in the game when he knows the fouls aren't going to get him in trouble.
He's Kelly Ego. He covers the Rockets for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Kelly Ego NBA. Kelly, what's your prediction for the series?
Ooh, I don't know. I think originally I had it Lakers in seven. But talk to me after game two.
Hey, do us a favor. I used to have Jenny Dow Creech on with me at 790, have her come in all the time. Love her, great person. I know she's over there at The Athletic with all you guys. Let her know Patrick and Jason said hello.
Okay. I'll tell you so now. All right.
Appreciate you, Kelly. Kelly Ico of The Athletic joining us here on the HRMP hotline. Before we hit the break here, let me tell you about mybookie.ag. We got the second round of the NBA going on. We got NFL football starts on Thursday. If you're not getting in the game and put a little more excitement in your life and making some money with your sports knowledge, well, what are you waiting for? Get on board at mybookie.ag, where you bet, you win, and they pay. Right now, sign up. And they will double your first deposit. All you got to do is put in promo code RADIO, R-A-D-I-O. Promo code RADIO, they'll double your first deposit so that you can double how much money you're going to win when you bet and win at mybookie.ag. So don't waste any time. Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code RADIO, sign up, start winning today. Bet, win, they pay. Mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5.